Good evening, and thank you all for being here. So good to see all of you. Last Sunday morning, I think it was, in our Bible class, we had a lot of questions about the elders and the duties of elders, and I hope this lesson this evening will help us in our study of elders. I thought I'd take this opportunity to do that. I don't know about you. Some of you probably have never gone to a congregation or been a member of a congregation that had elders. I, on the other hand, have never belonged to a congregation other than this one that did not have elders. So we can both relate to that. Now, as always, I encourage you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. So please open your Bibles to Acts the 17th chapter, if you would, please. Acts 17. Acts 14. Excuse me. I don't know why I had 17 on my mind. Acts 14. Acts 14 and verse 23. Now, near the close of the first journey of Paul and Barnabas, we read these words. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now, I believe that that is a divinely inferred reference to every church, and that includes Prairie Village, should have elders. If not, they should work towards that end. And I know you're saying, but preacher, we don't have elders at Prairie Village. Well, that's right. I know we don't, but we must strive to have elders so that Prairie Village will be in harmony to God's word and our congregation will be pure in God's eyes. So I want to talk to you this evening about elders, what their duties and responsibilities are, why they engage in the work that they do, and what our attitude towards them should be, and what our reaction to their decision should involve. First of all, according to the divine pattern set forth in the New Testament, as we have already read in Acts 14 and verse 23, each local congregation is to have elders in it, a plurality of men given the oversight of a local congregation. There are essentially three words in the New Testament to designate the individuals who have been appointed to this work. The first word is presbyters, and this is the word that is translated as elder. Whenever and wherever this word is used in the New Testament, it always carries the idea of age, even when the idea of age is not what is being particularly emphasized. Now, brethren and friends, all must admit that old is a relative term, but it is important to understand that under no circumstances can presbyters be stretched to include youth when it is used with regards to those who have the oversight in the local congregation. The second word is episkopos, which is translated by two English words in the New Testament. And they are overseer and bishop. Overseer and bishop. Very simply, the word refers to those charged with guiding and overseeing the local congregation. The third word is poimen. P-O-I-M-A-N. Poimen. And the basic meaning of this word is supervision and feeding. In the New Testament, it is translated by two English words. One is shepherd and the other is pastor. When you put all three of these words together, it's easy to see that we are talking about those who are older, and age is necessarily implied here, youth is excluded, who superintends or looks over, who feeds and takes care of a local congregation. Again, it is very important to understand that this pattern of each local congregation governed by or overseen by the plurality of men who meet certain qualifications as set forth in the New Testament, referred to as elders, bishops, or pastors, is the divine pattern. It is not a man-made, and it is not open to change, and it cannot be improved. Bible-believing people will abide by this pattern. But now I want to talk to you about the duties of the elders. Please come with me to Acts, the 20th chapter, and let's look at verse 28 first. Acts 20. Acts 20 and verse 28. There Paul said to the Ephesian elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Now I want to stop right here because I see that as the first duty of the elders. They are to take heed unto themselves. The elders must constantly inspect themselves to see how they stand in their relationship with God. They must make sure that they're walking in the faith before they try to lead anybody else. They must continually make sure that they are taking care of their own house before they try to rule the house of God. They must keep themselves under observation to make certain that they do not allow themselves to be led astray by false doctrine and then begin to lead others astray themselves. So let's stay in Acts 20 and skip down to verse 32. Paul said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I see yet another duty of the elders in this verse. Notice that they are commended to the word of God's grace, and they must always be led and guided by that word. It is a duty of the elders to see to it that they are in subjection to God's word, led by the truth, loving it and clinging to it no matter what, and that the decisions they make are based upon the word and not on personal desires or personal likes and dislikes. Even in matters of pure judgment, the elders are to see to it that their decisions are based upon principles set forth in God's Word. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter wrote there, beginning in verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom I am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now, there are a couple of things I want us to notice from this passage. You will note that the elders are to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. This is to be done willingly, with a ready mind, and for only the very best reasons. They must take the oversight of the congregation that they serve. To be an overseer means that an elder is to, in conjunction with the other elders, he is to superintend or look over all the phases of the local congregation. Worship comes under his oversight. The singing must be scriptural. The song leader must be qualified. Those who lead in prayer must be righteous men, and what they pray must be scriptural. The elders must see to it that what is taught from the pulpit is the gospel, and that all the gospel is taught, the things easy to hear and the things that are not easy to hear. They must see to it that the Lord's Supper is properly observed every first day of the week, and all aspects of the work of the congregations comes under that oversight, such as Bible classes, personal work programs, everything they are to oversee. Including in their oversight is discipline, including all the teaching that is done and all the encouraging that must be done, everything up to and including withdrawal when necessary. This is not an option that the elders have. It is a sacred duty. So let's talk about the idea of feeding the flock. That's another duty, and it is essentially the meaning of the word pastor. Now, let's think about it from that standpoint. Think about the idea of a shepherd pasturing his flock, and it will help us to understand this duty. First, as pastors, they must keep every member from straying from the church and becoming lost. Do you remember what the Lord said about the 90 and the 9 in Matthew 18, verses 12 and 13? You remember that? Let's look at that. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Matthew chapter 18, we'll look at verses 12 and 13. Jesus said, verse 12, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." So the elders must be able to detect the slightest loss of interest in yielding to the temptation and respond. God is interested in that one lone sheep that went astray, and so should the elders be. Back to Acts 20 and verse 28, if you would, please. Acts 20 and verse 28. Now, the elders were instructed here to take heed to themselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. This means that the elders must constantly look out for the conduct of the members. This requires that they know each member personally, and that they must be acquainted with their spiritual needs in order to properly take heed of them. Brethren, taking heed implies a need to watch. Sometimes folks get upset if the elders correct them or call their attention to an area in their lives that needs improvement. And brethren, that is vitally a very important part of their job. Secondly, as pastors, the elders must protect the flock from dangerous wolves, and this refers to false teachers who may try to enter in and disguise themselves as sheep. Again from Acts 20, and this time verse 29, Paul told the Ephesian elders, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." The elders need to know everyone who preaches and teaches in the church. And I tell you something, brethren and friends, if the elders, in keeping with this duty, question a man about something he has taught in the classroom or something that he has preached from the pulpits, and he gets mad about that question, mark it down. There goes a wolf. You can have a huge flock, and if one wolf gets in, that flock will be scattered. Thirdly, as pastors, the elders must make certain that a flock is watered and fed. The food and drink is the Word of God, of course. In the classes and in the pulpits, the elders are responsible for the content of what is taught. And you know something? Some folks only want the sweets, things that are easy to hear and that are tasty to the palate. And the Bible contains much that would fit that category. But the Bible also contains things that are not so sweet and pleasing to hear. Good elders know that a diet that consists only of sweets will leave a person spiritually sickly and malnourished. And you'll notice in verse 3 of 1 Peter 5, if you want to go back with me, 1 Peter 5 and verse 3, you notice that these duties are to be carried out not as lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. A good elder must present a pattern for the church to follow. It is one of his duties, and he doesn't lord over them like a boss, but he leads the way for others to follow. An example is one of the ways that he does this, by example. Think about it. He is to be a good example as a father, as a husband, as a businessman, as a teacher, as a citizen, as a neighbor, and as a peacemaker. He should also set an impeccable example in faithfulness in all things related to the church and in the right kind of recreation and entertainment. There's a great deal more that could be said about the duties of the elders, but what I like to consider now is the why. The why. Why do the elders do what they do? Why do they do what they do? Well, come with me now to Hebrews chapter 13, and let's look at verse 17, please. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Let me ask you, can you imagine being given the responsibility of watching over the souls of others? Truly, elders must love the flock so much that they, like Jesus, would lay down their lives, if necessary, to protect them. Listen now, watching over a man's soul means that they are watching over the only thing of us that is truly invaluable, our soul. Indeed, our soul is beyond price. No greater charge has ever been given to man. Think about it. No greater charge has ever been given to man other than to watch over a man's soul. What a tremendous responsibility. But again, does that really tell us why? What possesses a man to strive to qualify himself to serve in this capacity? What could possibly motivate a man to want to assume such an awesome charge? If a man becomes an elder because he wants a position of authority or because he thinks it would make him chief among the Indians, well, he won't last, I tell you that. There can be only one reason that would make a man work to prepare himself, make a man spend the time once he has been appointed, that would cause a man to spend the sleepless, tear-filled nights worrying and praying for brothers and sisters who are turning their backs to the Lord. And that's what a good elders do. There can be only one reason that would cause men to take that abuse that is so often thrown by the way of brothers and sisters who are looking for excuses for the ungodly behavior in themselves or others. The reason that they do this is love. It's love. Anything less than that would soon become apparent. It is love for God, it is love for His Word, and it is love for the people. And oh, so much love for the brethren over which the Holy Ghost has made them overseers. And you know, brethren and friends, I preach because I love to do it. Even if I were to think about quitting, the words of Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9 keeps ringing in my heart. Let's look at that. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. I'll give you time to get there. Jeremiah was discouraged. He was down in the dump, so to speak. And he said, begin in verse 9, Then I said, I will not make mention of him. He's talking about God. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But listen now. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah couldn't quit. He wanted to, but he couldn't give it up. He couldn't quit. It was a burning fire. The word of God was in him, just like it is in me and all preachers, most preachers. And that's exactly the way I feel. I can't quit because the Word of God is in me. I believe that a man prepares himself to serve as an elder, striving to meet those qualifications, and then once appointed, serves faithfully to the best of his ability because he cannot do otherwise. It's in him. He loves the Lord, and he loves the Lord's people. Now, it is not with the elders that all the responsibility lies. You and I, as members of a local congregation, have responsibilities that relate to them. Let's look at what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. Paul said, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Those which labor are the teachers and the preachers, and those over you, of course, is the elders. Understand that it is the duty of each member to be very well acquainted with those old individuals who have rule over them. Each member should know the elders by their lives that they lead and by the truth that they uphold. Every member should feel free to go to the elders anytime with any personal problems or questions they might have. And by the way, the word translated as no in that verse means to have regard for or to cherish, to pay attention to. It's a great deal more than just knowing their names and their faces. It means to recognize their authority, to respect and regard highly their leadership. This is vitally important to the success of a local congregation, the elders knowing the members and the members knowing the elders in its true sense. So, brethren and friends, sometimes the elders have to do some things that are very difficult. Usually it seems this involves an area of discipline of a brother or sister who is sinning and refuses to repent. Sometimes it is even made more difficult by families and friends. When the decision has been made by the elders to publicly admonish an individual, that is done because they love that individual and the Lord has demanded that this be done. When an individual must have fellowship withdrawn from them, that also is done because of love. Love for the individual being disciplined and love for all of the other members of the congregation. If we have love, we will support those decisions fully. If one is sinning and refuses to repent, it is not love to make that person feel good in that decision. And it is not love to turn on the elders. God knew the tendency of some folks. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you would. First Timothy chapter 5, and we'll read verse 19. Paul wrote, "Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." It is my belief that in this particular case, the word elder is being used to refer to those who hold the position of overseer over a congregation. A Christian must be careful about receiving evil reports against one of the elders or all of the elders. It seems that in a congregation of any size, there will always be someone ready to charge an elder or the elders with something. If the elders are abiding in God's word, then to rebel against them is to rebel against God. This is not to say that the elders cannot make mistakes, because they do. They sometimes do. This is why two or three witnesses are called for. But when folks just talk about the elders in a derogatory way because they do not like something that was decided, that is a sin, and we must not engage in it. Now, I personally, and I know this for a fact, I know several people that fall in this category, I personally know members who will not become a member of a local congregation if they do not have elders to shepherd the flock. I know that. I know some. That's something we need to think about here at Prairie Village. So, brethren, it should be our goal here at Prairie Village to strive to grow in the Lord and appoint elders as directed by the Lord. I pray that this will come about, and it will if we work towards that goal. As we have seen, love is what motivates a man to function in the office of an elder. Truly, it can be nothing else. It can be nothing else. We must respond in love because the goal of all of us is heaven. So I ask you, is there anyone here this evening who is distressed or downcast because of your sins and your inability to do anything about it? Well, Jesus has something to offer. He is a good shepherd who can provide the care for you. Turn to one last passage, if you would, brethren. That's 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 25, Peter had this to say to the Christians. He said, "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." In Hebrews 3, verse 20, Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. As the good shepherd goes before you, I ask you, will you follow him? Do you know his voice well enough that you refuse to follow a stranger? He laid down his life for you. Will you give your life for Him? Will you submit to His will and repent of your sins, confess Him as the Son of God, and be rebaptized for the remission of your sins? Will you do that? Are you willing to do that this very evening? If so, I ask you to please step out and come forward as we stand and as we sing. Maybe you're a Christian who has gone astray. This would be a good time to take care of that. If we can help anybody in any way to make their life right with God, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.